The next speaker would be Ray. Ray Street. Mm-hmm. Are you of Kadu or yes. and Akadu? Because we know you from Kadu. But okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I am Ray Street from Kadu, which stands for, quite obviously, the Campaign Against Depleted Uranium. I want to start with the idea of cooperation in campaigning, and I will end on that too. I also belong, I have several hats on in Britain, and I belong to CND, which has this famous symbol, which most of you from other countries know as the peace symbol. And I am actually wearing the T-shirt of the group down in Tucson, Arizona, in the United States, BAMDU, because it's the Raytheon factory there that actually manufactures these dreadful munitions. Kadu was started in 1999. It was launched then because of a moving meeting we had with Felicity Arbuthnot, who's here today, who told us about the conditions in Iraq and the suffering of the children. We had Gulf War vets, and the meeting was actually organized by the Fire Brigades Union. So it's worth remembering that the trade unions have never been mentioned in this conference today, and they are very concerned about this material and the munitions. I wanted, and a group of us from CND wanted, to raise awareness. We were horrified about this, and we thought to ourselves, why haven't we not taken up this before? So we set about forming a group and raising awareness. And as campaigners, we used all the tools we know about, you know about, posters, exhibitions, gathering resources and information. You can find all that. I don't want to take up my time now telling you about that. I've got a sheet which gives our website. You can find out all the materials we've got. One of the things that was always important in our campaigning was to gain the overall political world in which we were working against DU. And very early on, we published a very important paper, which I can recommend to you, DU and the New World Order. We published that back in 1999, and it's just as true today, because depleted uranium weapons are clearly part of the US drive for global power. Many other speakers have spoken about that at the conference, and I don't want to go into that, but you can read the paper. And I have also written a paper on the place of DU in the US drive for global power and full spectrum dominance, because I think that the DU munitions have been tested and proven and are seen by the military of the US as a superior weapon in war. They know they are, by their standards, very effective. An Iraqi survivor said, when he observed in the first Gulf War, when they were used for the first time by the US and the UK, that he actually observed one of these munitions go through and burn up not one tank, but two tanks. It's also a cheap material. It's cheap to gain for manufacturing, and of course then it makes money for the manufacturers as they sell it back to the military. It's also, by some analyses, a radiological weapon, which is actually easing the public consciousness to the actual use of low-yield nuclear weapons in battle. Given its part in US imperialism, which the UK completely supports under the present government, not the people, but the present leadership of the present government, it's not surprising that we, of which I am ashamed of my government, is the only other country to use it. Actually, we use UK, don't we? And I hate that term, because I don't think we're united, and I'm a Republican, and I don't believe I live in a kingdom. So I use Britain very often. After the presentations you heard before, I am sure that every single person here wants to work for an end to the manufacture, deployment, and use of depleted uranium munitions. And so what I want to touch on this afternoon is how we move forward in campaigning. Because campaigning means to shift, move public opinion. The phrase was, we want to make headway. And that's what all of us want to do. So let's look at the way we shift public opinion. One thing is to get out the correct information as we see it, which is so often obscured by our governments. We know that. We know how in our modern world they can manipulate public opinion. I mean, just look at the United States. Over 60% of the people there believe that Saddam Hussein had something to do with the September 11th attacks. In our world of grand information systems, some of our citizens in the world are probably the worst informed in history. So we have to look at how we can inform public opinion, inform the media. We can do it. We have our ways. We can, of course, use the internet, and that has been, in these last few years, a very good source of global exchange of information from peace and justice workers. But we also have to remember that not everybody has access to that. So we have to look at ways of working in our local communities. And those are the ways you will see that I've listed on our paper. Many of you are very familiar with those. We have to get out information, because we are so often tackled about that, on, for example, the science. Because, you know, there sometimes seems to be an idea that scientists are pure and good and holy. But they are not pure and good and holy, scientists. Although some of them are very good people, they can be as manipulated by the politicians as anybody else. And so it's up to us to present and support those scientists who are giving us the different, truer information. And you heard those appeals from, for example, Solange Fenet and from Chris Busby on this whole question of low-level radiation. Also, similarly, now here we can appeal to the public. And now there's questions of law. If you speak to your neighbour, generally speaking, they want to uphold the law. They understand very simple laws. They understand, for example, that it is good to observe traffic lights. Otherwise, you could have complete carnage instead of just the obvious deaths that we accept on the roads. People want to understand international law, so we can help support the lawyers. Also, people do not like to be misled. In Britain, the parliamentarians are furious at being misled. If only they'd listened to peace activists, they wouldn't have been misled. There is a humanitarian instinct in people, and I really want to make this point. This was a shift, I think, in the last war on Iraq. I think, and this is, think, is because of campaigning organisations, that the general public in Britain, and I think in other countries too, for one of the first times in history, realised that to have a war, even though they all recognise the evil of Saddam Hussein, to have a war on Iraq would make the sufferings of the people worse. And that, I think, is a shift. People appreciated what was happening to children in Iraq and the people because of many things, but particularly campaigning organisations. And lastly, I want to appeal for cooperation. for working together. The success in Britain and in other countries of the huge demonstrations against war on 15th of February was because many, many diverse organizations were prepared to swallow their differences, and it is difficult, as everybody here knows. It's difficult with political groups, it's difficult with religious groups, but many other sections of the population, but they did, and they worked together. And that achieved the great number and diversity of the opposition to the war. So I want to urge us all, even though we may have different views, to work together to gain international cooperation and international cooperation to end DU, because working together, our energies are greater than working singly. Thank you very much for listening to me.